ranked choice for the use of that property. The PNA then sent a letter to City Council with these results, but we never received a response. In May of 06, Commissioner Sten, in communication with the Portsmouth Neighborhood Association, stated that we would be involved with any redevelopment of the former John Ball site. This never happened either. In 10-25-06, Council made an executive decision and narrowly passed resolution, which is why we're here today, to grant this $1.9 million site to Portland Hope Meadows for $1 a year. And at that meeting, we, the Portsmouth Neighborhood Association, testified in opposition to that. This takes us more to the present. On 4-8-08, we held another community forum meeting in which we invited Dorinda Schubert, the director of Portland Hope Meadows, to come and inform our citizens, our neighbors, about Portland Hope Meadows. I had the opportunity to speak in opposition, as this is our normal community forum style, where we give the person an opportunity to have the pro and the con. And yet, at the end of the meeting, the consensus of the 30 neighbors was that they were not in favor of Portland Hope Meadows. As a result of that, the PNA, since we now have a much larger and stronger neighborhood association board and membership, has again moved to oppose the use of the land for Portland Hope Meadows. And conversely, or consequently, I sent a letter to City Council outlining the reasons why we are opposed to granting the property. So the key takeaway from this is that the neighborhood does not feel that we were ever given the opportunity to be involved in finding a suitable use for this land. So what does the Portsmouth neighborhood look like today? We have 8,300 residents, give or take, and 52% of those residents are renters. And those renters, quite a few of them, are people that are using some sort of a social service. Another thing to point out is that we have a school, Clarendon School, which is closed, and that the Neighborhood Association is going to start maintaining because the Portland Public Schools does not have money to do so because neighbors are tired of watching it get vandalized. We have New Columbia, which is three blocks west from the Portland Hope Meadows proposed site, which is probably the largest social experiment in Portland to date. We very much in the PNA would like to see New Columbia succeed, and we do support it, but we would like to point out that it is struggling to maintain its fragile neighborhood livability despite having enhanced police presence, where you have police officers on bicycles patrolling the area, despite having on-site social services, and they haven't been able to attract any viable businesses due to the fact that the people in that neighborhood really don't have very much money, and why would businesses want to move into an area where people don't have any money to spend? Another thing that we have is the Scharf military base is two blocks to the east. And at this point in time, I know council has recommended that we turn this over to the National Guard. However, the Department of Defense actually gets to make the decision on that, and their first priority for using that property is for homeless housing. And then if you were to drive down Portsmouth and say, what really defines our neighborhood, what you'll find is a random collection of struggling businesses along a main street that's really just a freight and traffic corridor known as Lombard or Highway 30. So the key takeaway from this is the neighborhood really needs something stable at that location. At this point, I'm turning it over to Susan Landauer.
Good afternoon. Thank you for listening to us. What neighbors want? Neighbors want market rate housing. They want owner-occupied housing. We established that at a meeting in September 07, where we talked about the Scharf military base. We did it again in April at our neighborhood meeting. And whenever we get together, that's what people say they want. The reasons are homeowners are invested in enhancing the community. Homeowners promote stability. Homeowners pay taxes instead of utilizing social services. The key to this is Portland Hope Meadows does not provide stability and uses more social services than it pays for. The pilot program, Generations of Hope, in Rantoul, Illinois, has a 90% adoption rate, which we all admire. But as of April 2007, it was not at full occupancy. 25% of the foster family homes are vacant. There is room for 20% more children and 18% more seniors. About 10% of the families quit year after year, and each child is more costly for the state of Illinois than the average. And in 2007, they were running a $176,000 deficit, and they were able to make up their budgetary shortfalls because they have a large endowment. And the point of this is the pilot has proven that it is not self-sustaining. The Portland Hope Meadows business model has three sources of income: money from the state, seniors pay rent, and over half the remaining balance is made up by donations. And even at full occupancy, Portland Hope Meadows must raise significant donations each year.
Hi, in the essence of time, I'm going to try and fly through this. My name is Ryan Shera. I live one block west. Me and my wife are new residents, actually, in the neighborhood. And the reason why we chose Portsmouth neighborhood is the reason because that is a neighborhood in transition. It is trying to better itself through the neighborhood association and through the contributions of the neighbors within the neighborhood. Before I get into the pro forma, I'd just like to reiterate the agreement that was made in the 2003 neighborhood plan that Greg noted earlier. If the city doesn't live up to this agreement, then what's the point of having a neighborhood plan? I mean, a lot of time went into that plan, and we expect the city to live up to their end of the agreement and their bargain. And looking at the pro forma, when you compare the...
Without objection, we'll give the neighborhood two more minutes.
Actually, I think there was a miscommunication. I was under the impression I was going to get 10 minutes, and each of my board members were going to be given three.
If I could make a suggestion, I kind of anticipated this coming when they were given. I wonder if we could, with your consent, treat them like we did the other panels and just allow them to finish their presentations. I certainly don't have enough.
Three more slides.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, sorry. when comparing the 2007 financial report with the 2008 financial report, you'll find that 50% of the donors in 2007 are no longer on their financial report in 2008, resulting in a loss of $1.7 million in funding. Where did they go? What happened? Also, we'd like to note, just in looking at the pro forma, Legend Homes is a donor. I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone knows that they're going through bankruptcy right now. So you might as well subtract that $250,000, which would result in Portland Hope Meadows having $1.6 million of actual committed hard funds. Last Tuesday, on September 23rd, Duranda Sherbert stated at the neighborhood meeting that they had not finalized the agreement with DHS, Department of Human Services, with the state, and I believe that is the $3.3 million that they have anticipated for funding. It's questionable. They haven't provided us any assurance that they're going to get this funding. Also, 86% of the funds is anticipated. I mean, I would never go into a project. I work in the development industry with 14% of the total construction cost of hard funds. I would never go into a project like that, and no developer wouldn't. I mean, I guarantee you Donald Trump wouldn't. So the key thing to take away here is, there's a lack of hard funding. Next slide. And, you know, in the financial report for 2008, there is no mention of the operational expenses, as was stated earlier. What those expenses are, we do not know. I'm sure they're pretty hefty. And where's the funding for those operational expenses? Also, we would just like to note that 50% of the income will be from fundraising. And that's a big concern that the Neighborhood Association has for ongoing expenses. And then I'd also like to point out on the pro forma, they have $950,000 of funding for the land lease. Now, the city of Portland owns this land. How does having a lease equate to almost $1 million in funding? That's a question mark that we have, and we would just like to put forward. Also, the SDC waiver fee. Now, SDCs are for your impacts, water, sewer, stormwater, traffic. And honestly, with a waiver, we feel that that's a lack of contribution to the city of Portland and the neighborhood. Really, these fees are needed to keep the city going and to improve upon the neighborhood from its existing conditions. Also, businesses, I would like to note, I work in the development industry, and I do demographic analysis for corporations, and they're going to take one look at this area, and there's a reason why you don't see businesses succeeding in this area. It's not, you know, I mean, there's a hard fact that, you know, the income of these occupants isn't there. So in reality, the funding isn't there, and it's, in the end, it's not bettering the neighborhood. And then just the points to come away from is Portsmouth Neighborhood Association, you know, is against Portland Hope Meadows due to the lack of hard funding and also due to the lack of working with city council and finding a suitable use for the site. Also like to note that if the lease is passed today, that, you know, it's not downhill from here. They have an extensive land use process. They have to go through a Type 3 conditional use, and they have to go through a Type 3 plan unit development, which the plan unit development is they're basically creating their own development standards. Under the R5 zone, the conditional use is not allowed outright, and their project would not meet the existing development standards, and that is why they have to go through those processes. And thank you for having us today.
Thank you. Questions of the panel?
I do.
Mr. Leonard.
So I've listened carefully to your testimony, and it seems like a large part of your objection, I hear two substantive objections. One is the process, and I'll ask you about that last, but the first is concerns you've raised with respect to raising the capital cost for the project and projected dollars for ongoing costs, and some concerns you've raised with respect to them not paying SDCs for the project. If those issues were addressed in a way that you felt resolved your concerns, would you support the project?
Do you want to take that, or do you want to?
You go ahead with that, actually.
I would say no, we do not want to support the project. Time and time again, in meeting with neighbors, people in Portsmouth neighborhood are tired of having subsidized type housing. Granted, I know this isn't subsidized, but these are not people who are going to be tax-paying citizens that are going to be benefiting society. These are going to be people who are going to be needing social services. The neighborhood already has New Columbia. I think we've done our part. The neighbors want to see houses that look like all the other houses. We've had people come up to us and complain saying that realtors have told them that their property values are going to go down if this goes in across the street. So people are very concerned about it. The amenities that they pointed out to us, we don't need. We already have free access to community college or Columbia Cottage for meetings. We already have free access to University Park Center for meetings. We already have University Park right next to, almost next to this site. And we have Columbia Park, which is a wonderful park nearby. So these amenities that they're offering us really don't add any value. The only thing that this project does, if it works, is to succeed, is to possibly enable some well-deserving foster children a chance to become adopted and perhaps have a better chance in life. But it doesn't necessarily have to happen at our site. And I think it's premature right now to give it because they haven't demonstrated, at least in my perspective, especially working for one of the top 10 corporations in Oregon, I mean, this plan just is filled with holes. I don't see hard money in here.
Second part of my question has to do with the process. My original position on this a couple of years back was based primarily on the lack of public outreach. I understand that that may not have changed your mind, but have you had the opportunity to discuss this project with Portland Hope Meadows? Have you had the chance to talk about this project with people from the city?
We've
as a neighborhood association.
Yes, Dorinda has been very good about coming to our meetings and attending our board meetings. She has been very good at attending our community forum meetings and trying to answer people's questions. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, I would say they have been very good. However, they only showed up after the resolution was passed. So there was never any prior engagement with the Neighborhood Association prior to the resolution. I think the people felt like, this was dropped on you, and now we'll try to engage with you. I feel like we do have a good rapport with Dorinda. Yes, we're here today formally opposing, but I feel like if this were to go through, that we could get through this, and we would be able to work well with her. We have not worked with the city on this. We have sent letters to the city, and we have not gotten any response.
So I was just going to ask you those two things, but the last thing that you brought up, I appreciate. If, in fact, the council approves this, what are the kinds of agreements that you think you would like to see in an ongoing Good Neighbor Agreement?
We actually haven't had the time to discuss the Good Neighbor Agreement. We extended the invitation to Shannon Callahan at our last community meeting so that we could give the neighbors a chance to offer constructive feedback as to what they wanted to see. And I will admit that it was a very difficult meeting to control because people were so emotional about this project in general that I'm not sure that we really received as much constructive feedback as we wanted. But going forward, we would set aside time to actually work through the Good Neighbor agreement. We have several people on our board. I know that my original background is in civil and environmental engineering. Ryan is also...
I'm a land use planner.
Land use planner. We have another civil engineer. If this were a design build process, I think that we certainly would like to be on the design build team to ensure that this is integrated into the neighborhood in such a fashion that the people who are adjacent to it look at it and say, okay, I'm happy to look at this every day when I walk out my door.
I appreciate that. And I just want to make one last observation. I'm compelled to make this observation. I appreciated you sharing your own personal history. But I hope you appreciate there's a huge distinction between kids who are adopted and kids who live in foster homes.
Oh, I certainly do appreciate that distinction.
I may have misunderstood that you felt like you could relate to kids within
the foster care
system because of your background.
No, I think my point is that being adopted and not having had to go through the foster care process, I'm very fortunate.
I appreciate you clarifying that. Thanks.
And I'm glad that the rental facility is working out. But at the same time, I think I'd like to point out, since they're the pilot and they were on Oprah and they've been on everything, that they've received a lot of money, and that's why, despite being running at a deficit, they have such a large endowment because they were the first that they've been able to weather these storms. But I'm really afraid when you look at the business section of the Oregonian every day that given the recession that we're probably in, that money is going to be drying up and that Portland Hope Meadows isn't going to be able to get their 50% grants and donations to operate the facility over the next several years.
Thank you. Further questions?
I'll follow you, Sam.
Okay. You made the phrase, and I just want to clarify that this is a project, or you want a project with taxpaying citizens and whose members benefit society. I think that as part of your other, another part of your testimony was that you have no quibble, you have no disagreement that this benefits society, you just don't want it in this neighborhood.
Correct.
Okay, so it's the taxpaying citizen part. Okay. The assurances or the testimony of Shannon from Commissioner Saltzman's office went through in response to Commissioner Fish's questioning sort of some triggers and criteria that they had to meet, both in terms of capital financing, but also in terms of assurance of operating revenue before they get to proceed with construction. Are you familiar? Had you heard that before you put through this testimony, sort of that criterion stipulations? And
you take.
Why do those not meet your concerns?
Well, that criteria, I would think, meets our concerns. I mean, you know, if they can present that they have the funding for construction before they break ground, I think we would be amenable to allowing the project. The question being that, you know, as of today, the resolution stated that they had to present that they had sufficient funding. And I don't know, do you see that today? I guess that's the question. Do you see that they have the appropriate funding today to pass approval of the lease yourselves? Now, with the conditions in the lease,
right.
My personal feeling is that, you know, as long as they meet the requirements of the conditions, you know, I think the Neighborhood Association may be amenable and it may be satisfactory.
So I don't see that they, I mean, they're not in a financial position right now that satisfies me that they get to start construction on the project. And I think knowing some of the folks involved with this on other projects, they wouldn't start construction until they had more financial sort of backing in hand. I do know from my other project efforts, though, that they can't pursue a lot of those resources without showing control over the property. So the other question that, or the other statement that you made, and maybe Commissioner Fish might be able to speak to it as well, that projects done well, and part of the definition of well is sort of integration into the fabric of the surrounding communities. For types of projects where the population is, I put in quotes, perhaps more challenged than this population, we have not seen a reduction in property values, just to speak to whatever realtor said whatever to you. In fact, there's been case studies that have been done, again, not here, but there have been case studies that have been done that show that property values have gone up as much as folks much further away from these kinds of facilities. But you did some work in Southwest, I think.
If I could just speak to that that issue, Commissioner Adams, at the New Columbia, I think it's a case in point. There are opportunities for home ownership on that site. And one of the concerns that the neighborhood expressed when I was on the Housing Authority board was, would home ownership work on a mixed-use development like that with a heavy concentration of subsidized units? And I think there was a healthy amount of skepticism of whether in the marketplace it would be successful. And I think we can all take some comfort in the fact that the homes were all sold. I would say that from a market point of view, something that was an unanticipated consequence of the success of the New Columbia is that on the resale market, those homes are no longer affordable. So in a sense, the marketplace told us that you can mix community. And where we hope to have a supply of affordable homes in the New Columbia, the fact is in the resale market, they're no longer really affordable. But to go to my colleague's point, the reason they're not affordable is because we demonstrated that a a carefully planned community with home ownership would be successful, and people are not resistant to living in a community where they're told they're subsidized units down the street, both public housing and affordable. So that it goes to your point in the immediate neighborhood. If I could also just say that in terms of a community presentation on an issue of this kind, I think you've set the bar very high with this, and I thank you because obviously a lot of the history here predates me, and I appreciate the thought and care that went into your presentation today. My colleagues have asked all the questions I was going to ask, but I did want to address the Scharf facility because it's you raise a concern about the outcome of the BRAC process. And I will just tell you that I was in D.C. about a month ago with the Jerome Sears site, and we met with Colonel Balaki, who makes the decision. And what we learned is that if a community has a strong preference, they will generally defer to that preference. And we learned that his mandate is to close the deal as quickly as possible and to get as much money as possible. So, again, regardless of what happens today, on the Scharf piece, I actually now have a little bit of familiarity with that because I met with them in the Jerome Sears site, and I'd be happy to talk to you about that because there is a presumption in Washington of following a community recommendation, and they are actually very eager to dispose of their $350 billion portfolio. As you can understand, if you go to housing at one of these sites, even though there's a congressional preference, it generally delays the process quite a bit because these are difficult things, packages to put together. So I just want to – I'm not telling you that I know how it's going to come out, but I can tell you that my sense is that the community desire on this one will be honored.
Other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're going to now move to regular testimony, and I'm going to ask, without objection, I'd like to ask if there's any parents with young children who would like to testify first. Or parents with young children, plural. Children, I guess. Yes, come on up. Come on
they
up.
Can't have just one. They have to have more than one.
Do I sit?
Yeah, have a seat and pull up a microphone.
I think we'll see. That's very cute. There's another one on your back, by the way. Just I didn't want you to forget.
She's quite vocal, too, so she might join in.
So if you could just give us your name, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Misty Menashe, and I live about 4 blocks west of the proposed site. I am a board member, but I come here as a citizen in the neighborhood to say that I fully support the program, and I have from the first time I heard it when the neighborhood was canvassed. I am one of the New Columbia. I moved 0.7 miles from the proposed site into New Columbia, so I truly believe in the Portsmouth neighborhood, and I truly wanted to be there, and we moved into New Columbia because we believed in the neighborhood. We bought one of the homes. We did not qualify for any of the benefits that came along with possibly buying into the New Columbia. We didn't get any tax deferment, any property tax, which my property taxes went up significantly because the homes went up in value significantly the second year that we lived on the site. I also grew up in foster care in Portland. I was never adopted. I was transferred through a few foster homes, but I did end up in a permanent situation where several grandparents were invited, surrogate grandparents, just like Portland Hope Meadows' intention is to have. I still belong in those lives of those of my surrogate grandparents, and they still belong in mine. And I'm grateful that the neighborhood that I grew up in didn't oppose me moving in. And I'm grateful that I had that opportunity to be in a permanent home as I graduated high school. I also wanted to put out that if I was to move into Portland Hope Meadows and become a foster parent, both my husband and I work. We are taxpayers, and one of us would still be working while raising these foster children to be adopted into our family. These are taxpaying citizens that will be adopting children from our community. I strongly object to saying that everybody coming into Portland Hope Meadows is just there for the benefit of, help. And yes, the children are there to be helped. The seniors are paying, and the parents are paying into these homes and into our neighborhood. and I think it would be a beautiful addition. I walk every day with my three children around my neighborhood, and I'm very excited and hopefully able to see the brown break, break and see this community develop. And I would love to be a part of it and continue to be in my neighborhood.
Just want to say, I think your baby is dazzled by seeing mommy up on the screen.
We've
been getting the side view.
Etta, you want to speak too.
Now we're on the screen, the baby's going to cry.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Misty. Okay, Carla, why don't you read off the first three names?
We have 21 people who signed up or were left on the list.
2 minutes each. We'll go to 2 minutes then.
2 minutes. The first three, please come on up, are Seth Truby, Chris Kaiser, and Richard L. Meyer. They'll be followed by Roger Mosser, Terry Carbone, and Rhonda Meadows.
Welcome. If you could just give us your name, and you each have, you'll have 2 minutes. Why don't we start with you, sir?
My name's Seth Truby, and this is a very interesting process to listen to. I grew up in a family with two siblings who were adopted out of foster care, so I have some familiarity with the issues, and I want to commend you on the work you're doing to bring this to Portland. If for some reason the lease doesn't work out at this site, you know, I hope that you'll help them find another site because it sounds like a good thing to have somewhere in the city. I'm actually here to talk about the opportunity cost, which is when you choose to do something with a piece of land, you know, you're not doing something else. And we have a proposal that a lot of the neighborhood is pretty excited about, and its history goes back several years. I was actually at the meeting when Dan Saltzman initially proposed this use for the land. And we were just forming a charter school at that point. We didn't have a school yet. We didn't have kids, teachers, anything like that, but we had been approved. And we came to the neighborhood looking for a site and said, well, here's one potential use for the site. There was some interest. Now we're in a very different place. So I'm a founding board member of the Portland Village School. It's a tuition-free public charter school. In its second year of operation, we have over 200 students. We're a Waldorf Method school, which is an arts-integrated, holistic approach. It's the fastest-growing educational movement in the world. We just opened our doors last year, and we're already the second largest charter school in Portland. A couple more years will be the largest. I'd like to explain very quickly the unique challenge charter schools face in finding a site. Like Portland Public Schools, we're a free public program supported by state and local tax funds. Unlike Portland Public Schools, we have to pay rent or a mortgage. There's no provision giving us our own building or the right to occupy public school space as they do down in California. And we only receive 80% of the funding compared to PPS, so it's quite a budget squeeze for us. We were lucky when we opened to find a suitable building site at De La Salle Catholic High, their old site. So they moved over and rented Kenton. So ironically, you have a Catholic school renting, a public school building, and then we're a public program renting from the Catholic building anyway. So it's been a good first home, but we're already bursting at the seams. And that's the end of my time.
Thank you. If you could just give us your name, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, commissioners, and thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to speak. My name is Chris Kaiser, and I'm a parent at Portland Village School. I have a first and third grader who are attending there, and I'm also on the school site committee. As Mr. Truby was just telling you, the school site that it currently has now is temporary. We have a lease that's set to expire in 3 years, and we're outgrowing the school. And so we're here today to ask, at least for consideration as a possible alternative to the John Ball site. And the reason why that is because the Portland Village School is a great asset for North Portland. In its first year of operation, the school has got a 98% return rate of the families. There are 100 families that are on the waiting list for the kindergarten alone. The great success of this school has been its strong and diverse community. It's a community that is made of builders and makers and has put a lot into this school. In the first year, there was over 2,000 hours of volunteer time put into the school. All the desks at the school were made by parents and students, finished and sanded, and they were made at the wood shop of a Portland Village school parent. Volunteers painted the school, they sewed the curtains, made the cubbies and bookshelves. Volunteers transformed an overgrown dumping ground lot adjacent to the school into a functional playground for the kindergarten. This school is an incredibly valuable asset to North Portland that North Portland risks losing if we can't find an alternative site. PBS will be a stabilizing influence regardless of where it goes. There are nearly 20 families who've moved near the school just because of the school itself. In fact, we have families who commute from the west side to North Portland. I ask you, when was the last time you heard of families commuting from the west side because of the quality of the public education in North Portland? Being a Northeast resident, I hear often just the reverse. The fact is, Portland Village School is an asset for the city of Portland that it cannot lose, and we need to find another site. We're here today to ask you to help us in that quest.
Thank you. Mr. Ellmeyer, if you could just give us your name, you have 2 minutes.
My name is Richard Ellmeyer. The president of the North Portland Business Association has authorized me to quote the following. We are against the development of the Portland Hope Meadows Corporation at the former John Ball School site. North Portland has been a landing ground for government-assisted housing to the point of oversaturation. The businesses of North Portland need a community that has an equitable share of disposable income. We feel government funding housing is necessary, but should be equitably distributed throughout the entire city, rather than misappropriated to historically impoverished areas. We feel placing another government-funded housing community of any flavor in North Portland is not only discriminative, but criminal, unquote. But I don't come here today to persuade any of you. That ship sailed a long time ago. I'm here to listen to Alicia Fuchs, elected Multnomah County Circuit Court Judge and Portland Hope Meadows board member, tell us why she supports due process in the courtroom, but not at City Hall. I'm here to listen to City Council candidates Charles Lewis and Amanda Fritz tell us why they support due process and oppose backroom political deals. Most importantly, I'm here to listen to anyone who will argue against the proposition that Mayor-elect Sam Adams should be held totally and singularly accountable for forcing this terrible plan on the Portsmouth neighborhood and North Portland. This is a battle of property owners, business owners, and residents of North Portland versus the taxpayer-financed public housing establishment. Elected officials will vote with whichever group has the biggest numbers and the most clout. At the moment, that is not us. But in time, it will be, because we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore.
Thank you. Next three, please.
Roger Mosser, Terry Carbone, and Rhonda Meadows. They'll be followed by Mark Young, Joanne Long, and Amanda Davenport.
Welcome. We'll start with you, Terry. You each have 2 minutes.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Terry Carbone, and we haven't really talked very much about the seniors in this conversation today. I do volunteer work every other week with the Hearthstone at Murray Hills, and I work directly with the seniors. And I know that the seniors who have something they're actively working on, people they're working with, love to have children come, they stay viable, they stay active, and many of them work. The ones, though, that are left behind, that have no purpose, they get lost. And I even do some work with memory care for people who used to be teachers but now have nothing to do. So I just came today to support Portland Hope Meadows. I'm on the board. I started as a contributor. And the more I learned, the more I love this program. One of my favorite authors is Stephen Covey. And in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he states, "Grandparents who show great interest in their grandchildren are among the most precious people on this earth. What a marvelous, positive social mirror they can be. A strong intergenerational family is potentially one of the most fruitful, rewarding, and satisfying independent relationships. And many people feel the importance of that relationship." This quote exactly is what we're about in this project. I truly hope that the wisdom and foresight of this council will take a strong stand in support of Portland Hope Meadows for the good of the children, the parents, the seniors, and for Portland, for this will surely be a jewel in the crown of the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Rhonda?
Yes, my name is Rhonda Meadows. I'm the founder and a massive fundraiser for Portland Hope Meadows. We have been working very hard over the last 4 years to make this a reality, and I want to just say that I believe that this is not a charity. I take this statement actually from Mr. Hobson, who spoke earlier about SEI, but we're not a charity. We are an investment for our city. this project, you know, Commissioner Adams has huge initiatives as mayor for this city, and one of his top priorities is getting kids graduating from high school, making sure that they have their diploma, making sure that they have enough skills to be successful in their careers. Well, I have to tell you, 90% adoption rate means higher graduation. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but Dorinda, what is 100% graduation for these kids? That is an investment in our city. Secondly, I just want to say, and I, with no disrespect to the Portsmouth community, but I will say that when I've been involved since day one, so I attended many of the Portsmouth Association meetings when before Dorinda came on board, and I will say that I don't want to be in a neighborhood that doesn't want us either. I don't want that. So what did we do as board members in 06 of July, the whole month of July, every Saturday we canvassed 153 homes, door to door, every Saturday. Out of 153 people, only 7 people said, we do not want you here. To me, that is the majority. That is not the minority. And when I attended these association meetings, there were 10 people, handful of people there that spoke out. So that is the minority. I am talking about the majority of the people in that neighborhood that want us there, that believe in us, and that want to be part of us. So that's a huge piece. And then lastly, I want to just say for the business folks here, you know, we are paying thousands, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for kids who don't get help, kids who are in inpatient care. I looked at 3 girls. We spent over $1 million on 3 girls that were in foster care and inpatient care. This program will get kids out of the system and into an adoptive loving home so that we taxpayers won't have to pay the millions of dollars that we paid to help these kids heal and be successful in their lives.
Okay, Rhonda, your time's up.
Thank you.
Sir, just give us your name, please.
My name is Roger Mosier. I work with Windermere, and I'm the co-chair of our Windermere Foundation, and we have committed to build one of the homes at Portland Hope Meadows. And where our money comes from is all gift or all donated money from our agents, and it is a mandatory thing that every agent must give money if they're going to be part of Windermere, and most, all of them, give way more than they're required to give. So over a 4-year period, we will be raising the money to build one home. But what I really want to say is that I grew up in a very small town in the Midwest, and we didn't have foster kids. We didn't have this issue because it was a small community, and if anything happened to a parent or somebody, there was a grandparent there, there was an uncle, there was an aunt, there was a brother or sister to take these children. The extended family doesn't exist anymore, and this is the new extended family.
Thank you. Next 3.
Mark Young, Joanne Long, and Amanda Davenport, and they'll be followed by Jay Bloom, Lorraine Drugas, and Maxine Kruger.
Welcome. We'll start with you, Mark. Just give us your name, and you each have 2 minutes.
Mark Young. Good afternoon, commissioners. I've worked in the nonprofit world for 42 years, 10 as the CEO of the YMCA here in Portland, and have raised millions and millions of dollars. So I'd like to just address the issue of whether Portland Hope Meadows will be able to raise the funds that are in the proforma. There's organizations in this room that wish that they only had to raise 50% of their operating money from fundraising. 50% actually for social service organizations is not an enormous amount. From a numerical number, that's about $500,000 going forward. To date, with no program, no building, a very small board, they have been able to raise about $250,000 a year already, with no program in place. So as a seasoned professional who has had to raise a lot of money on an annual basis to sustain a nonprofit organization, the money that they have to raise is very, very doable. And the reason it's doable is because of individual giving. Individual giving is the key for sustainability in a nonprofit organization. And they've been doing their fundraising through special events, and they've been getting 300 to 400 people at every one of the special events. So they've been building a growing list of individuals and supporters. So once the organization is up and running, once they've broken ground, and once the donors can come and touch and feel and see the good work that they're doing, that number is very, very sustainable for an organization, and it should not be a reason to take a look at this and say that the organization cannot sustain itself.
Good afternoon. My name is Joanne Long, and I'm the chair of the board of directors of Portland Hope Meadows. I'm here on behalf of myself and as an employee of the Regents Group and Regents Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oregon. As a Regents senior executive, I'm privileged to demonstrate wholehearted commitment to a program such as Portland Hope Meadows. I was fortunate enough to be raised in a multi-generational home where parents, children, and grandparents all took care of each other through good times and bad. I've seen the positive influence of this model on my family. Most recently, I have witnessed my niece, who is a single mother raising two young girls, have to rely on us as her family, as aunts and uncles and grandparents, to provide her financial support, moral support, child care, and other support that she needs. I recognize through my work as a registered nurse, as an attorney, and as a businesswoman, that not everyone in this community has those resources readily at their disposal. I was immediately drawn to the Portland Hope Meadows mission when I heard how much it was likened to my childhood existence, and committed to giving of my time, means, and my talents to helping promote this model within the city of Portland. My hope is that the council will listen and duly measure all the testimony that has been offered here and in other forums, and weigh in favor of offering give site control to Portland Hope Meadows and give us the opportunity to meet the conditions of the lease that will be duly negotiated with the neighbors. Thank you.
My name is Amanda Davenport, and I'd just like to briefly voice my support on behalf of Portland Hope Meadows as a board member, a resident of Portland, and an Oregonian. If there are two groups of our fellow citizens who I feel need our love and support, they are children and elders. And as Dorinda mentioned before, these are some of our most vulnerable citizens. Portland Hope Meadows will help both communities. Having seen the effects this community can have on its residents and neighbors, I would welcome it in each and every neighborhood in Portland, including my own, especially my own. I ask you to help Portland Hope Meadows become a success and a model for others looking to also improve their communities. Thank you.
Thank you all. Next three.
Jay Bloom, Lorraine Drugas, and Maxine Kruger. And they'll be followed by, can't read the first name, but I believe it's L. Warrington on Alaska, Kelly Taylor, and Ed Sloop.
Thank you, and thanks for being here. Start with you, Jay. You have give us your name, and you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, my name is Jay Bloom. I'm interim president of the United Way locally, and in addition to serving on the Hope Meadows board as a volunteer, I serve on Children First board as well as Elders in Action, and have done work in community mental health and children work for over 36 years. It's a great privilege to work on behalf of this particular project. I think it represents a model both nationally as well as showing that intergenerational programming can be a great opportunity for this city. So I'm a wholehearted supporter and a donor to the project. Thank you.
My name is Lorraine Drugas, and I live in North Portland. And I'm a retired school teacher at Portland Public Schools. I taught in North Portland quite a few years. But I just want to go on record as being completely for this program. I just think I taught a lot of foster kids in my day and adopted kids and all kinds of kids. But kids do need a place to call home. They need somebody to be mama and daddy. And I'm just totally for it. Oh, one more thing. I sound like Sarah Palin. One more thing. One more thing. I happen to love children's books. And so as soon as I heard about this project, which has been 3 or 4 years ago now, I started collecting children's books. And good books, some used, some new, but they're all good. And I have several hundred. And I get to help with the library when this building takes place. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am Maxine Kruger, and I've lived there in this neighborhood straight across the street from this property. And I can tell you a whole lot about it. And I cannot understand them trying to take that property to build this institution on it that the taxpayers are going to be paying and paying and paying. And to keep this going, and the first place, the schools are overloaded, and they're going to be more overloaded because of the production of homes in the area. And so, therefore, I don't agree to having this put there. There were several other things that was potential that could be on that property. And one was a senior center, and then somebody wanted a library. And then one thing that the man spoke a minute ago was about a kindergarten. Of all the homes that's been built in that area now, you're going to have little children, a lot of them, and they are a lot. And so I would like to have even seen a nice kindergarten put there. No other parts to the grade part of it, because I did have, I worked with the school a lot. And therefore, we had kindergarten through third grade to begin with, because my oldest daughter went there at the beginning. And then it was continued to go through the fifth grade. So therefore, senior center, we don't have very many of those in the area, and it would be very nice to have that put on that property. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next three.
Is that Warrington on North Alaska? Is that middle initials L? Kelly Taylor and Ed Sloop. And they'll be followed by Patricia Kane, Leah King, and Carolyn Biesick.
Okay, welcome. We'll start with you, ma'am. Just give us your name, and you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, my name is Helen Warrington, and I've lived there for quite a number of years, moved there in 65. And among the things that I wanted to learn today was more about the program, and I could barely understand most of either the high-tech sound speaker was off, or my hearing is worse than I think it is. But I don't know much more, except I know that it has changed since the first time we talked way back at the neighborhood. I would just like to say that if the people who did the survey right away weren't quite so naive to after just do the property facing or adjacent to the property, if they thought that was the only people who would be affected by anything, good, bad, or indifferent, they were very naive. And I just worry about people who accept information like that and they're that naive. I'm not really interested in the program at this point.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kelly Taylor, and I am a proud board member, and I've been involved in the board for over 2 years. I'd like to specifically address the canvassing. I was one of those that canvassed the neighborhood. We went many, many streets deep and wide in that community, and it was just not the adjacent home. So just to clarify
that. I don't know why
that,
you missed me then. That's,
well, maybe you weren't home that day. I'm not sure. So
possible.
Anyway, I just wanted to make a couple of points today. You know, unfortunately, you know, our kids don't have any control of the families that they're born into and, you know, what families that they have around them. And as a parent of a junior in high school, my daughter faces many challenges every single day, and I can't imagine her growing up where she wasn't supported with a loving family and had an extended family to really help her get through each and every day, as difficult as those things are. I don't see any reason to oppose this project. It's wonderful, and I really believe that it will provide the future leaders of our community, you know, a strong sense of home and community, and I can see those kids giving back to this community, which is something that we need very, very much. And finally, I think this project provides a great framework for publicity for Portland. It's another great project that Portland can be proud of. We can share it with those others in Oregon that really want to replicate this model. And I can also see us getting lots of attention outside of Oregon and be a leader in the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir.
My name is Ed Sloop. I have two adopted boys, and my wife teaches in the Reynolds School District at-risk kids for the last 17 years. I support this project, came to know this project as an employee of Walsh Construction. I'm the estimator for this project. I think it's great to get intergenerational community in Portland. I like the model. I think if through a model like this, we can keep the graduation rates high and keep kids away from crime, that's going to benefit the community. And it's going to, like Rhonda said, that's going to be an investment. So I'm just here today to support the project, and I'm going to lend my services to it to make sure that they get the biggest bang for their buck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next three.
The last three who signed up are Patricia Kane, Leah King, and Carolyn Bisick.
Yeah. Yes, they have. Welcome.
Thank you.
Why don't we start with you and give us your name. You have 2 minutes.
Sure. Carolyn Bisick. I'm the executive director of Oregon Mentors. And I'm speaking on behalf of mentoring programs that many of the same kids who are in foster care are referred to mentoring programs. And volunteer mentors become the person who might be consistently there for a child as they move from foster care home to foster care home. And that person is there for that child, but not there 24/7, and not able to really be able to surround that child with love, like a place like Portland Hope Meadows. Portland Hope Meadows represents permanence and unconditional love. A quick little anecdote. I was with a program that helps foster youth transition into being living adults. And of the 12 girls that we are working with who are in the White Shield Center who had children of their own and had substance abuse issues, 11 of them had been in foster care. So what you're seeing is generation after generation of foster care parents. Portland Hope Meadows will break that cycle. Those kids will hopefully have healthy families, and that's where your cost savings comes in. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Joan? I'm sorry, you please go next and give us your name. And
my name is Patricia Kane, and I made up a conversation about this, which is probably going to take 2 or 3 minutes longer, if that's possible.
Well, it's not possible, but so you've got a minute and 45 seconds. Do you have something in writing you'd like to give us?
Yes.
Okay, you can submit something in writing for the record. And we'll look at it right now. You can make comments, yeah. There's no vote until next Wednesday.
I am a homeowner on Woolsey. I have lived there for 19 years, and I have been directly impacted by the New Columbia experiment. I certainly hope that it becomes successful. However, the impact has not been pleasant up to now. The reason I'm here is because I haven't heard anything about this program. My sister is a 25-year working foster parent for court services kids. And she has been in a program that has an 85% success ratio, which is the highest of any program in the United States today. She has fostered over 400 disadvantaged boys, and her recidivism rate is zero. When I told her about this program, she said, "I can't believe they're doing this." Most of the boys who come to her home, and of course this is true of many foster children, have been on illegal and legal drugs. Some have fetal alcohol syndrome. Most have lived on the streets, are runaways, or been abandoned or kicked out. Some are sex offenders, either by inclination or forced by their prior caregivers. Many have stolen cars and valuables from parents, and social service foster parents have been beaten, the children, starved, and psychologically abused. Many have been assaulted and in turn have assaulted, and they've tried to kill one or both of their parents or caregivers. Many can't read or write English. My little sister is a total professional in handling these kids. 400, not one recidivism. She...
Ma'am, your time is up. We have your letter here.
Please read what I've written.
Thank you.
And her input on this program. It's very important.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Leah King. I'm a board member of Portland Hope Meadows and a contributor, been on the board for 4 years. And why I became so passionate about this cause is I was adopted as a baby, and so very blessed life. Grew up living with our grandparents part of the time, you know, good times, bad times. And I love this